Today's daf in Besechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf tet, and we were holding on daf chet amud beit. I made a mistake yesterday. I meant to get up to the sugya of askufa, as I mentioned at the end, and I forgot that we hadn't read the last piece that was nogea the previous sugya. I'm really sorry. It's like crazy way to begin the day. But we were talking about yesterday, remember, the question of a hanocha. We started off with the throwing a kaveret and the hanocha needing to be entirely within the rishus, right? Because we were talking about a krumi shokona that stuck up, the machlokas over there between a bayarava, where the krumi shokona is enough to make the basket, the kaveret, be partially outside of the rishus in which it landed. So the Gemara now has an extension of that idea in the opposite direction. And that is to show that in the same way we do not consider it to be a hanocha unless it's fully in that rishus, we do not consider an akira to be an akira if part of it is still sticking into the original place where it was. And what would that be? That would be very simple. If you've got a longer pile of sticks, okay, so it's very difficult to pick them. They may weigh tons. What you would normally do in order to transfer such a thing is flip them. So you pick them up and you flip one end over, crash. Then you go over to the other end, you pick that end up, crash, right? But that means that at no point was the entire thing picked up, because when you made your first crash, the bottom of the what was originally the top that is now the bottom is in exactly the same place that it was before. All you did was change its orientation. And because of that, there was never a complete akira, which is very similar to the idea of hanocha in terms of the krumi shokana. So because of that, the Gemara just wants to close the case with this halacha. And therefore, Amar Rav Yehuda, the case of a zariza, one third of the way up over here from the bottom. High zariza, if you got a pile of wood or reeds, which are heavy, and you want to just rama vizakfe, you move it by lifting up one end, putting it up and throwing it down. And then you start from the other side. You keep going like this. There you would not ever be chayev unless you pick the whole thing up or drag the whole thing. So Rama v'zakfei l'mechayev ad ha'akala. Okay. Anyway, that concludes yesterday's ma'amar. I apologize for that. And now we go ahead on today's new sugya. Today's new sugya is actually our opportunity to analyze the Braita, which was presenting the concept of this new rishus that we called the area that would be a mokum patur. And we characterize that, we did, because we jumped ahead, we characterize that by the case in the Braita of the Iskufa, where there was a machlokas to Tanakam and Rebbe Meir. What is the din of an Iskufa? And we took the Iskufa to mean the threshold of a door. Well, we took it to mean of a common door. And that's, again, because we took one approach that we're going to have today. And that area, because of the fact that it doesn't have Arba al-Arba, would be considered to be a Mokum Patur. And therefore, there would be no iser in transferring from the bayis to the askufa, or from the askufa to the bayit, from the rishus harabim to the askufa, or from the askufa to the rishus harabim. The only limitation we add is that if somebody's sitting on the askufa, you cannot use him to transfer something from the rishus harabim into the rishus hayochid. And that was a gezeira, because we're afraid that that way people may come to simply transfer directly from rishus hayochid into rishus harabim, putting their hands over the askufa, and that would be, as we're going to see, that is considered to be not munach at all in the askufa, and because of that it would be an issue deraita. So that is how we took it as a pashas when we did the braita. Let's see how we arrive at that. And on the way, of course, the Gemara is going to use this Braita, which says a relatively straightforward, simple case, to illustrate the remaining issues that have not yet been defined for us. And those are issues that relate to the din of the Eruvin. The reason that we bring this up here is obviously because, remember at the end of the Braita that we introduced two new Rishuyot, that are neither Rishut HaYochid, not Rishus HaRabim, not Carmelis, and not a Rishus HaYochid, according to the guidelines presented initially by the Braita. Even though, technically speaking, they may be one of the above Rishuyot, Chazal Rimitaken, in various cases, and we've discussed some of them, which I'll review with you in a moment, in various cases, that without doing some particular type of tikkun of the issue, you're not allowed to carry because of a gezeira. Okay, so remember one of these cases we had was a 100% bona fide Rishut HaYochid Midiraita, but since it was a karfaf yotermi beit sa'atayim that was not hukaf ledira, the lack of the urine turns it into a chumra in which people will get confused, and therefore we cannot carry four amas within it. So it's partially a karmelit, because we're treating it partially like a Rishut HaRabim Lagabi, that chumra. We had another case where we talked about different Rishut HaYachids, each one of which is occupied by a separate diurin. And over there also, even though midiraisa, all of that is nonsensical, because the concept of diurin is really not nogea, the idea of the Rishus, only the real concept of mechitza and the technicalities of mechitza, whether virtual or real, they're the only things that are definitive to Rishus. Remember that the Rabbanan introduced the idea of diurin. So if there are no diurin, it's similar to Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you can't carry within it. If there are separate diurin, each one of the Rishus HaYochid is viewed as a separate Rishus HaYochid. Again, similar to the idea of diurin that is nogea Tuma Vatira and Suffolk Tuma Brisharam Shayochid, which is not technically speaking diurin, but deot, those people that are present. That's because it's learned from Sota. Fine. Anyway, so because of that, we're going to get into this other issue. And that is an issue that we spoke about briefly before, also at the end of the Braita, which was talking about various chatzerot that open up into a mavui. And we said in order for you to be able to carry out from a chatzer into the mavi or from the mavi into the chatzer, what you would need to do is you would need to make an shituf mevo'ot. So you would need to do all sorts of type of eruv in which every chatzer has to be mishtatev as opposed to the eruv chatzerot in which every bayit in the chatzer has to be mishtatev. Please get all of these technical words. These are the technical terminologies which we're going to be using throughout the Masechet. You've got to get it straight. Shituf as opposed to Eruv, the difference between the shtatvas of Batim in a Chatzer and Chatzeros in a Mavu. Now, as it turns out, that's really only part of the story. The other part of the story is that you cannot actually make a Shituf Mivo'ot if that mavoi is open to the Rishut HaRabim on one end, which is generally what you have in an alleyway. You got these chatzerot that are open, and then at the end of the mavoi, you walk out onto the real street. Now, if a mavoi opens up onto a real street, because of the ease with which that's confusable with the Rishut HaRabim, remember, it's all relative. Here, think about it. You've walked out of your house, which is completely private, into a yard in which there's another five homes that are open into that commons. Okay, now you're in a common area. Starts to feel like Rishus HaRabim. You walk out of the common area into a bigger common area, and the bigger in the sense that it's used by far more people, and that's the alleyway, which may have 10 chatzeras similar to yours in it, and all these people are coming in and driving in, parking in front of their chatzer. Now, that really feels like Rishus HaRabim. And then going from that alleyway into the real Rishus HaRabim feels like another change of Rishus, doesn't it? So therefore, we are afraid that unless we do something which changes the status of this alleyway into a completely closed-in area, that you will get confused, and having moved from the Chatzar into the Mavoi, you will continue to move from the Mavoi into Rishus HaRabim. Because not everybody is such a bookie to note that the moment that they left the alley that had the three mechitzas, that then when they moved into the street, they were going to be over on this diuraita. I mean, it's exactly the same. The same cars are parked there, cars are parked there, and so on. So therefore, we needed to do something. Now, there's two approaches to the something that we do. The something that we do can be there because of a heker, or the something that we do can be there because of creating a virtual fourth mechitza. And this is the takona of using either a korah or a lechi. Now, a lechi, we saw earlier, we spoke about it, especially we were talking about Reb Yudah, remember, who held that you can even put a lechi on either side of a house, facing a similar house on the other side of the street. And if you own both those houses, you could then, if you put it on both sides, you could then carry from one house to the other, even through a Rishus HaRabim, because the virtual lechi wall would seal off the Rishus HaRabim into a private area. Okay, that's Reb Yudah. We didn't paskin like that. But we've already seen the idea of a lechi creating a force field. So we see it as a virtual wall. It's as if from the lechi to the other side, when you get close to that area, zzz, and that provides the difference between the inside rishos and the outside. All right. Then there's also another concept which we haven't really spoken about, which is a korah. A korah is, generally speaking, a one tefach wide, it's a 1x4 instead of a 2x4, if we're talking about tefachim, and it is, do not confuse that with truly with a 1x4, which is measured in inches. So, but it's a 1x4 in terms of tefachim beam that would go over the entranceway to the mavoi, which may work through heker, or it may work by creating that virtual mechitza from its edge down. So when you get up to it, you hit the force field. Now, the question is, that force field, generally speaking, when we create a force field over a doorway that doesn't have anything there, it would be a field that's generated by the idea that we had before. Another term, please make sure it's listed in your terminology book. Pi tikra yored v'sotem. Pitikra yored v'sotem means that we're always having a force field coming down off of the edge. If a roof ends with an edge as opposed with a curve, if it ends with an edge, that creates a virtual mechitza beneath it. However, in order to achieve that type of virtual mechitza, you would need to have a real roof, which has to be itself 4 tefachim wide. A korah, which only needs to be a tefach wide, does not work necessarily with the normal idea of pitikra yored v'sotem. And it's a special takona, which works only for something that would actually be reshut hayachid miniraita, and this would be turning it into a completely encircled wall, but that could be more similar to the idea of heker. All of this we'll get into later. I'm just giving you the general introduction to the idea of a mavoi. Now, all of this is called a mavoi, where the mavoi is closed entirely on one end. So there's chatzeres along three sides. One end is open, the Rishut HaRabim. That is known as a mavoi satum. And that's the only case that we're talking about right now. The mavoi patuach was what we spoke about before when we were dealing with the Rishut HaRabim. If you have a mavoi that runs one end from a Rishus HaRabim Gemura to another end, Rishus HaRabim Gemura, or to the outside of the city or the gates of the city, that is considered to be brought to Rishus HaRabim, becomes actually Rishus HaRabim Diraita, even though there are homes that are opening up on either side of it, except according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds that two mechitzas are enough to destroy the concept of Rishus HaRabim. But the halacha, we don't pass him like that. So, in order for the Gemara to put the maximum amount of complexity and material into this concept of iskufa, we use it as an excuse to examine the idea of both pitikra yored v'sotem and the concept of lechi and the concept of korah by a ruse, in a sense. Because what we do is we make the initial assumption that if there's going to be a difference between the door open and the door closed, which is what acherim say, remember, then that's the machlokas between the Tanakam and the acherim. As to whether it is defined as it always is, it's mutter for someone to put in or to put out and so on, or whether it's a function of the door being open or closed, the Gemara holds at this point that the door open and closed should only be nogea if it is a iskufa of a mavui. And therefore, if it's an iskufa of a mavui, then we get into all kinds of questions as to what the din would be of that iskufa. So now let's see this inside. You said before, Amar Mar the Brayta, a person can stand on the iskufa. He can take something from a balabayit in Rishut HaYochid, and he can give something to the balabayit, or he can take something from the ani, or he can give it to the ani. He's just not allowed to transfer from one to the other. What iskufa is this? An iskufa of what? Is this an iskufa at the end of a mavoi that is opened up to Rishus HaRabim, and it has the din of a Rishus HaRabim? How would it have a din of Rishus HaRabim? It doesn't have a roof, and therefore there's no pitikra yored. It's less than 3 tefachim from the ground, so because of that, it's considered to be bottle to the Rishus HaRabim. And even if we assume that the mavoi behind it was a mavi that had been set up to carry on Shabbos by creation of a shituf mevo'ot with a lechi, the lechi is always, or doesn't have to be, but it's almost always the norm is to position the lechi at the beginning of the doorway, and the lechi works by the side of the lechi that is facing inside, which leaves the iskufa, which is the threshold, outside of the range of the mavi. and leaves it outside of the range of the defined area by the wall. So if that's the case, then what we're looking at is a real Rishus HaRabim. If it's less than three tefachim high, it doesn't have a roof, it doesn't have a heksher of a lechi, what makes it not a Rishus HaRabim? So if it is an eskufa at the Rishus HaRabim, how the heck could the Braita have said that you're allowed to take something if you're standing on the movi from the guy who's standing inside, who's the balabayit, you'd be taking out of Rishus HaYochet to Rishus HaRabim, go over on the Yisrael Yoraisa. That's crazy. Now, obviously, you can't be talking about that case. If you're going to tell me that it's talking about a movi and with a petach over here that does have a roof over it, let's say, right? And therefore, the area that was under the roof, which would be the eskufa, would have a pitikra yorev esotem, which would turn it into the actual continuation of the inside of the mavoi, in which case it was a rishus hayochid, or it could be, maybe we put the lechi at the end, which is not normal, but we put it there, and it could obviously be a real rishus hayochid, meaning that it itself is above 10 tefachim, it's one of these, you know, one of these homes that opens up with the stairs that go up to the entrance so that the skufa is on top of this little stairway and then it's 10 tefachim high off of the ground. I mean, then it's mamish. It would have 4x4 at the top step. Then it would be a real Rishus HaYochid. That's the obvious case. And then how in the world, if we're talking about it's Rishus HaYochid, how would you be allowed to take something from the Ani? You'd be bringing something from Rishus HaRabim in the Ani's hand into Rishus HaYochid. So it can't be talking about either of that. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, okay, it's neither. It's the eskufa of a Carmelite. So maybe that's less than four tefachim in width, right? More than four tefachim or more in the width, but it's not 10 tefachim high. It's above three tefachim, and it's up to 10 tefachim, which gives it a din of a Carmelite. But even if it's a din of a Carmelite, you're not allowed to take lechatchila from a Carmelite into Rosh Hashanah and vice versa. You're not allowed to take from Rosh Hashanah and vice versa. So it can't be a Carmelite. So now that we made it very clear that the Brit has got to be referring to a fourth Rosh Hashanah, that is neither a Rishus HaYochid, nor a Rishus HaRabim, nor a Carmelite. And what therefore must this be? It must be an eskufa of a mokum p'tura ba'alma. So it is a no place. It's absolute utopia to live on the thresholds. And this has become a very modern thing. It's called a liminal space. Don't we love it? And therefore, if you sit on the threshold, you don't have arba al arba. And since you don't have arba al arba, it's not an area that is defined by itself. And because of that, it's a mokum p'tura, so you're allowed to take something either way. Rishus HaYochid to it, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim to it, Rishus HaRabim, and we just made a gezerah not to transfer from one to the other. So this would be a simple explanation. And in fact, when Rav Dimi came from Bavel, he said that what Rabbi Yochanan had taught when he was in Eretz Yisrael was that a mokum she'in bo arba al arba tefachim, that indeed if it's a mokum p'tur that does not have 4x4, it does not consider to be an area defined unto itself, it is mutter for anybody on either side. If you're in the Rishus HaYochid, you're in the Rishus HaRabim, you could put your backpack down on that, rest a little bit, and then take it back up. But you're not allowed to transfer something from one Rishus to the other. I mean, if a guy's in the Rishus HaYochid, and it's a little trick that you've got, you know, you put down the backpack, so then you'll pick up his backpack, and he'll pick up your backpack, then you've achieved a transfer. And we said the Rabban and Aser doing the transfer because we're afraid you'll end up transferring directly, as long as you don't do that. Okay. Now, we said on Marmar that this is only if you don't take from one and give to the other. So you can't take money, let's say, from the Balabayit and give it over to the Ani. And you can't take something out of the hand of the Ani and give it over to the Balabayit. Nonetheless, if you did, all three of them would be putter because you didn't do any Chilul Shabbos. Now, that seems to be saying that if you transfer from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid through a Mokum Ptur, you would not be Chayav HaChatas. And that is a real slam in the face to Rava. It's a Tiyufta because Rava said, remember, every area above 10 Tefachim from the ground in a Rishus HaRabim is what? It is a mokum p'tur. Now, generally speaking, when you carry something, you put something on you, it's already above 10 tefachim. So if you pick up something in Rishus HaRabim and you transfer it, arba amos in the Rishus HaRabim, you're basically carrying it outside of the Rishus HaRabim. You picked it up in the Rishus HaRabim, then you lifted it up. Now you're carrying it in a mokum p'tur, and now you're setting it down. That should be exactly the same as the case where you put your backpack down on the eskufa, and then you transfer it from the eskufa into the house, in which case it ought to be potter, like it says over here. And yet Rava says beferish that if you're mavir chefes betchilat arba lesofar b'rushut rabim, afal pi sheviro, even though you went through a mokum p'tur, because you took it derech alav above yourself, you were holding it up, which means it's obviously 10 tefachim above the bottom of the Rishus HaRabim, you would still be chayev. Now, that seems to be saying that even though something has gone through a Mokum Patur, we ignore the Mokum Patur, we look only at the Akira and the Hanukkah. How do you explain that? It's very obvious how to explain that. If you think about it for a moment, if a guy is sitting on the Askufa, which is the case that we spoke about, standing on the Askufa, what's the din of something that is put into his hand? It's munach. Obviously, it's munach. Even if the hand is moving, it's completely munach because the person is standing still or sitting on the mokum p'tur. So the moment that he takes something from the hand of the ani, that hand is now munach with whatever is in it in a mokum p'tur. Obviously, you can't be mechayev somebody for transferring from Rishus HaRabim to a mokum p'tur and then doing a separate act of transfer from a mokum p'tur to Rishus HaYochid. That's absurd. So over there, it's only a gezeira, and therefore there's no possible way to be mechayev him. Mashenken Rova's case is, there was no hanocha in the mokum p'tur. A guy picked up something, starts to walk, goes arba amas, and then puts it down. Over there, the mokum p'tur being in the middle is irrelevant. That's all that Rova was saying. Okay, now, let's get back, and here's where the case gets a little bit more complicated. Let's get back to the shita of the Acherim, and the Acherim are talking about some strange case where it makes a difference whether the door is open or the door is closed. What is that talking about exactly? The Lashon in the Braita was, Acherim omrim iskufa mishameshet shtei rishuyot. It can be either a rishut hayachid or a rishut harabim. If the door is open, now assuming we're still talking about a mavoi over here, if the door is open, then we treat it like it's part of the inside of the mavoi. If the door is closed, then it's treated like it's outside of the mavoi, and it's in Rishus HaRabim. So that would mean, if you're saying, if it's open, then you're allowed, it's mashma, you're allowed to carry, right? Because this has the same thing as being inside. So if it's inside, it means you can move from inside of the muv onto the askufa. Now, the problem with that is that since this muvoy is only mutter to carry in if you put up a lechi, and since the norm of the positioning of a lechi is at the edge of the door, which is the beginning of the threshold, and since the inside of the lechi facing the inside of the muvoy is the area that defines the virtual wall, and because of that, the statement here doesn't seem to make much sense. Because would you be saying that you're allowed to carry from the mavoi onto the iskufa, even though it does not have a lechi on the outside of the iskufa? It only has a lechi on the inside of the mavoi, which is the first tefach of the iskufa? Didn't Rav Chama Bar Guria quote Rav as saying that if you've got an area which is the entranceway into the mavoi, you cannot carry from the mavoi into that area unless you have another lechi at the edge of the outer end of that area, which is not where you positioned the original lechi, so you would need a second lechi to be matir carrying within the area of the askufa. And therefore, why are we saying over here that in a normal case of an eskufa of a mavoi, it would depend on if there is a door? It has nothing to do with a door. You wouldn't be able to carry with it anyway. Even if the door were open, it would need another lechi. Now, I'm assuming that you're going to try to tell me that we're talking about an area, liba de acherim, that does not have arba'a al arba'a. And in that case, we're going to consider it to not be a separate reshus b'fnei atzmo, and because of that, I don't need a second lechi, because it's batal ipso facto to the reshus that it's next to, since it's such a small area. That would be a good try, but it would be wrong. Because if you're coming to be Masbir Rav, it happens to be that Rav himself said, I don't care how big it is. Om Rav Kama Baguri Amar Rav, if you're talking about the inside of that threshold, even if it doesn't have an area of al-arba al-arba, in order to carry within it, you're going to need a second lechi in its outermost extremity. So that's not a good answer, okay? So what are you going to say now? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, well, I have a good answer, okay? My answer is like this. We're talking about the askufa of a mavui, yes. But we're not talking about the askufa of a mavui that has a lechi. We're talking about the askufa of a mavui that they were matir with a korah. Now remember that the korah is that which extends above the area of the open space at what would have been the threshold of a doorway if there had been a proper mezuzah and an askufa built. So the korah now covers over that area. And what happens is that because a korah is really only one, as I said, it's a 1x4. So since it's only one tefach wide, it usually is not going to cover the entire entryway, the threshold, because the threshold would usually be, let's say, 4. And only the area that's underneath the korah is going to be mutter. So now, chetzya mikorah, v'chetzya she'eno mikorah, it's got one korah over it, which doesn't cover the whole thing, and the area that does have the korah is the area closer to the inside. So that means that the door of the mavui will close up against the inside edge of the korah. Okay. So if that's the case, so what we are saying is that in the case where we don't use a korah, so then it means that we're going to have part of a korah if the door is closed. And if the kiruyo is klape pnim, therefore the acherim say, if the petach is patuach to the inside, so then the area, not the whole area, but the area that's under the korah, is considered to be like the inside of the mavui that the korah was matir, because then the korah actually began to work. Because, as we'll see, there's a shita, which the acherim holds of, that a korah you're allowed to carry even in the mavui under the korah up until the outside edges of the korah, as opposed to a lechi, where it's the inside edges. And this is basically dependent on how we understand the nature of the korah. If the korah is considered to be the equivalent of a pitikra yored v'sotem type of idea that applies, so then the pitikra would be on the outside part, and therefore it works as a outside mechitza, not as the inside mechitza, the way that the lechi would be working. And if we're talking about a korah that is mutter, mizmatir rather, because only of a hakara, so it's only psychological in that it closes off the space in your mind, so then it would be questionable. What is the hakara to? Is it to people inside? Is it to people outside? So those that hold that the korah is matir underneath say that the hakara is to people that are in the Rishus HaRabim, that this is a separate Rishus. In which case, as long as the korah is working, so now the area underneath the korah is basically like the outside, the inside, but the moment it's not working, why would it not be working? Because the door is closed. If the door is closed to korah, there's no takana of a korah on an opening of into a korah where there's a door, obviously, because it's not serving. The door creates a separate area. So because of that, you cannot carry underneath the korah either. Rav Ashi says, can we drop this whole business about the korah? We could be talking about even a case of a house, okay? And what we would say is that even the reason I wouldn't want to say it was a house is because, generally speaking, the doorway of an entry to a house is completely covered by the wall of the house or the ceiling of the house, right? You don't have a case where half of a door is open to the outside. So that's why we didn't want to talk about the house. But let's go back to talk about a house. And the idea over here is that we have two separate coverings. Now, the doorway over here, let's imagine a case where we have a sliding door, and the sliding door has to go over the area above, in other words, it's attached by little pulleys, onto the top of the threshold. So when the door is closed, it's going to go between one part of the roof and the other part of the roof. And that's exactly what happened over here. There is definitely a covering, but it was covered with two separate pieces of wood. One piece of wood was positioned closer to the inside of the house. Then you affixed the pulley system onto that, and that was a gap that was less than three tefachim. And then you positioned the other piece of wood towards the outside. Everybody get the picture. When you open and close the door slides between the two pieces. When the door is closed, it has separated between the two pieces of wood that are covering the inside and the outside of the entryway, right? Very simple. When the door is open, let's analyze what happens. Since each one of these pieces of wood does not have arba'ah on its own, so then because of that, it is not considered to be a roof to create a pitikra yored v'sotem. But if the door is open and there's less than three tefachim between it, what happens when there's less than three tefachim between two slabs? Zzz. Lavud. So they become virtually a single piece. But once they become a single piece, you now have one roof that is 4x4. And then that would mean that the entire area is considered to be like the inside of the house as long as the door is open. Because if the door is open, it's all one roof. What about the pulley system? The pulley system doesn't bother me. It's within less than three tefachim, and therefore less than three tefachim, we consider the edges to be molecularly attached, virtually. So it's indeed a case of a full ceiling, which is actually only virtual full ceiling, but enough to create the din of Pitikra V'yored V'sotem. And it's a brilliant explanation, which is enough to throw you into the sugya of what we're dealing with over here when we're talking about the idea of Heter Mavui, of the concept of Korah, the concept of Lechi, the nature of Lovud when it's Nogea creating a roof. We didn't talk about that yet. And the nature of Pitikra Yored V'sotem. Now, you must admit that that was a very brilliant, short, and information-rich trick to get you to know all of these new things today. All right, and then the last thing we said, that if the Yaspuka was 10 Tvachim high and 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim, then it's a Rishus to itself. Now, what does that mean? It means that even though it technically is defined as Rishus HaYochid, and therefore there should be no problem in carrying from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid, but remember that once we define a separate Rishus HaYochid, and it's not inside of the same house, then you're not allowed to carry from one Rishus to another Rishus, B'sayayel Rav Yitzchak Bar Avidimi, which this is a brand new idea. We are now talking about an Isser of Tilto that is not defined by Diurin. It's defined entirely by Mechitzas, but it's defined by Mechitzas that are separately indicated and do not subsume one another. So if you have, let us say, an area inside your home, which would be the top of a bunk bed or a gallery, that is all subsumed under the one Rishus HaYochid, which is covered by the roof and surrounded by the mechitzas of your home. But suppose you build a 10 tefachim high entryway, let's say something like a bima in a shul, and that is put in front of your home, you would not be allowed to carry from your home onto the bima, even though they are literally both the same exact type of Rishus, which is amazing. That is a whole new idea of a separate Rishus defined by Mechitzas and not the Urin, and that we learned from Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi's claim. The Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi, Rebbe Meir used to say this halacha over. And this is our closing halacha when it comes to this new list of semi-Rishuyot, the Rabbonans. And that is that Rebbe Meir used to say, Kol makom shata motzei shtei Rishuyot vein Rishut achat. If you've got two separate definitions of a rishus, such as an amud in rishut ha-yachid, gavoa asara v'rachav arba'a, obviously it's talking about where it's not fully subsumed by that rishus, you would not be allowed to put your backpack on top of it, even though you're going only from one rishus ha-yachid to another rishus ha-yachid. And why is that? because people do not know the difference between a tail Bereshit HaRabim, where you would have a separate Rishos, and if you were inside of Rishos HaRabim, would put something down on a tail, which is like a small elevated area, you would be over, if it was 10 by 4 by 4, you would be over on a Diorita. And in order to avoid that happening, we made a gezeira that any place that could be confused with a tail, even let's say like a bima in front of your home, would be considered to be a rishus b'fnei atzma, and min rabbanan, you cannot carry from a rishus hayochid A to a rishus hayochid B, even if it's not owned by separate diurim. Pow! This is like the final extension of the idea of the rishuyot, which means that in reality, we have a lot more than four rishuyot in terms of the halacha of carrying. If we're going to include this, and we're going to include the idea of mavots, we're going to include the idea of separate batim in chatzeres, and we're going to include a karfaf that isn't tukaf ladira, and any of the other issues that we spoke about, all of which comprise mixtures of rishuyas, where it's inappropriate to call them a karmeli, because then you might come to carry from them into rishus harabim, thinking that there is no tchiev, and of course it would be a tchiev d'oraisa. And that closes our marvelous, but very, very information-rich introduction that Rebbe gives us at the first Mishnah of Masechet Shabbat, and now we can go back to normal learning. Okay, so now, do I hear a Barnea problem?
No, we're so happy to see him. Hi.
Happy to see whom? I'm sorry? Richie. Yes, he's actually... We are ready and more than ready. How long it has been. So now we begin with our discussion about things on Erev Shabbos. Now, the discussion of things on Erev Shabbos actually takes into consideration what might get you so involved that you lose track of the time. So before we talk about the specifics of that idea of getting involved and losing track of the time, about Shabbos, which is a specific concept of losing track of the time, let's talk about losing track of the time in general. Losing track of the time in general would be a problem about near Kriyat Shema time, near Tefillah time. So suppose it's the middle of the day, it's close to the time of Mincha, and you've got things to do. Do you first daven Mincha, or do you first do your things? Are you allowed to do your things and daven Mincha later? Can you do your things and then say Kriyat Shema? Now that will open up the door to our considering doing things which would be usher to do on Shabbos and that you may forget. So therefore, says our Mishnah, Lo yeshev adam lefnei haspar samach l'mincha ad sheyitpalel. Do not sit down to get a haircut when it's close to mincha. Now close, we're going to see close to always means within a half an hour. So close to mincha, now we have no idea what mincha means here, because obviously we've got two minchas. We've got mincha that starts at the time where we can be makriv the carbon tamid, which technically speaking is chatzos of the day, noon. However, we don't actually start at noon because of the fact that it's very easy to get confused between the instant of noon and it's still a little bit before. So because of that, some say even midiraisa, because we don't actually notice the movement to Bein Harbayim, which is when we're supposed to bring the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, and Bein Harbayim means the sun has begun to move to the west, and it's begun its Ma'arav Harbayim, it's heading downward, and that would not be until it is clearly moving downward, and therefore perhaps even midiraisa, according to some Rishonim, we only start at 12:30. Remember that 12:30 is defined by prorated divisions of the hours of the day. It has nothing to do with 12:30 on the clock. It has to do with the point of the day where you were one half of an hour defined as 1/12 of the day is the meaning of the hour, which in this case would mean so 1/24 of the daylight time. If you wait until that amount of time has passed after the midpoint of the day where the sun is directly above you, then you're allowed to bring the carbon tumit. But that goes on until 3.5 hours into the day. So you could start doing the Shechitas HaTamid at 12:30, and then there's also the later mincha, which is called the Mincha HaKetana, and that part would start later, because we would start till the 3.5 hours, which would mean that you've got much less time to daven, depending when the time is. So what do you mean, Samach LaMincha? Is that Mincha Gedela, which means it's only 12:30? Why can't you start going to a haircut? How long does a haircut take, for God's sake? I mean, come on. You got another 6 hours almost. I mean, why can't you take a haircut? You've got a lot of time. So you must be referring to the Mincha Ketana. Oh, I'm so sorry. I jumped ahead. I'm sorry. All right. So what can't you do? You can't go in to a barber. Back to the Mishnah, sorry. Can't go into a barber. You can't go into a merchatz. So you can't enter into a public bath or the mikveh or to a burski. A burski is where you're bringing skins into a tannery, is what it seems to mean. And that's a long process. And all of these are processes that you don't want to interrupt in the middle. Because you don't want to interrupt your haircut in the middle. You're not going to interrupt your bath in the middle. And you're not going to interrupt your processing of a skin. It'll kill it in the middle. So any type of thing which is a process that you don't interrupt, don't begin. Because you may get tied up into it and therefore end up not davening mincha. Same thing would be true about eating or about being a judge or going into a case for judgment, although the judge wouldn't take it according to this mission, so it's referred to a judge. So don't start a din. But if you did start these things, whatever ones they were, and Tosfos says this means if you did start even when it was already time for mincha, not even samach l'mincha, then you would not have to stop because there is actually enough time, obviously assuming that there is enough time for you to say mincha before shkia, so it would be all right. But when it comes to kriyat shma, then you do have to be mafsik, because for a d'oraisa, we are mafsik, and the zman of kriyat shma is therefore we're very worried about. But ein mafsikin the tefillah, now this, what exactly is this adding? Is this an additional halacha? Is it the same thing that we said before? But you do not have to interrupt something that you're doing for davening. Okay, but this implies that if it's a type of activity that is generally started and stopped, there's absolutely no reason for you to get involved in it. If it's time to daven, you'll simply put down whatever you're doing. Let's say you're a sofer, you're writing. A sofer always stops in the middle. He's not going to finish his whole Sefer Torah in one sitting or his whole mezuzah. So you're writing a mezuzah. Okay, so why would you get involved to the point of not davening? So that's the way most of the Rishonim hold. So now let's take a look at the Gemara that we jumped ahead for by accident. Sorry, when we say close to mincha, are we talking about mincha gedela? That doesn't make sense. So much time. We must be talking about mincha ketana. But then we've got a problem. Because the Mishnah said if you started, then you do not have to stop. And that's referring to mincha ketana. The problem is that would mean that the Mishnah is saying beferish, a tiyufta to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, once mincha ketana time has arrived, kivan shehigiyaz man mincha, you are not allowed to taste anything. Taste anything doesn't mean not sit down and eat anything. It means taste anything. So even if you're in the middle of a meal, nothing goes into your mouth at this point, as opposed to our Mishnah that says, even though it's mincha ketana, which is the way we're understanding it now, if you started eating, you don't have to break it. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, you're not allowed to even taste another bite. Okay, so then you're right. We don't want to do that. It must be we are talking about mincha gedela, and you're saying, so what the heck is the problem of starting a haircut? Well, man, we're not talking about any haircut. We're talking about Moshe's haircut. I mean, look at that haircut. You know, that requires a French barber and all kinds of... Well, we're actually talking about a tisporet of Ben El Asan. Now, Ben El Asan was Rebbe's son-in-law, and he was very rich. And he had this maybe something of a fixation because he ended up spending millions on it. But he squandered all his money on this idea that he was going to be able to duplicate the Kohen Gadol's tisporet. Now, the Kohen Gadol's tisporet required cutting each individual hair separately because each hair had to touch the tip of one hair, had to come to the bottom of the other hair. And that took hours. And so if you are Ben El Asan or you've got some kind of weird French barber, then you should not be sitting. And that's what it's talking about. when it talks about a merchatz. I mean, that doesn't mean taking a shower. That means going into a spa where you've got a massage, you've got a schwitz, and my God, it's a whole deal. And as Richie can tell us, by the time you finish that, you are so completely worn out and so dizzy, and we talked about the oiled Richies, that you will not be able to daven, even if we would have time. And certainly it's possible it takes so long you will never have time. When we're talking about Bursky, we're not talking about bringing in like a little piece of skin to make a wallet. We're talking about a Bursky Gedola where you've got all types of business going on over there. The guy's going in and they're just starting to work. It's his stuff. He's got 20 different animals here, hides that are sitting there. And that could take forever, to do or even just to look at, as we'll see. And we're talking about eating. We're not talking about eating at your table. We're talking about going to one of these awful affairs. And when you go to an awful affair, it takes you about 6 hours to get out of that awful affair, which is why nobody wants to go to the awful affairs, at least not stay longer than the main course. And those kind of affairs, those are called Seuda Gedola. And of course, you should not go in before Mincha, which is why they always daven before the wedding, because otherwise nobody's going to remember to break. And when you talk about din, we're not talking about just going in for, giving the psak din. We're talking about the trilas din. A trilas din, I mean, who knows what somebody's going to bring up, some new evidence or whatever. It could take you forever. And because of that, you're not allowed to start. There's a different approach by Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, no, we could be talking about a normal haircut. However, remember Murphy's Law. Whatever could go wrong does go wrong. And so if the guy is going to start cutting your hair, what is the most likely outcome of that haircut is that his scissors break in the middle. Now, what are you going to do? You're not going to walk out with your hair half cut. You got to wait until he runs downtown, buys himself a new pair of scissors. By that time, it's post mincha. So the chatchila amaylo yeshev, you never know if the scissors break. Don't go into a merchatz, even if it's just for the schwitz. Why not? Because you might get faint. And if you get faint, you might actually faint. And then it'll be too late by the time they get you revived. You got kayach to daven, you won't be able to daven. And Lola Bursky is not talking about doing anything. You're walking into your Bursky just to look at things, make sure everything's going okay, and look at all of the dials and the gauges. I mean, you can't barely resist. It's like everybody's got their, they've got their meat sitting over there drying out. How many times do they go look at it and see whether it's ready yet, right? Okay, so you can't resist. Ah, why not, however? So then it should be okay, because what if you see something wrong? What if the temperature is off? What if there's a big problem and the electricity isn't connected? My God, before all the meat gets ruined, what are you going to do? You're going to be sitting there for hours fixing everything up. And what happens if you see something has gone wrong and now you can barely concentrate on anything? Oh my God, I got to call up the insurance company. I got to get this repaired. So then you won't be able to daven properly. And when you say lechol, is even a seuda ketana. What's wrong with the seuda ketana? Well, seuda ketana has a tendency to sort of expand as your waistline does. So you may be asi le'imshuche. And the din is even, you're not allowed to even go in there in order to issue the verdict. Why not? Because what happens if at the last moment you realize, oh my God, I forgot to take into consideration this particular tiner, this, and then you have to start all over again. So the time of his sotardina. Now, when you say, once you started your haircut, or once you started any of the above things in the Mishnah, you don't have to stop. What is starting? Well, it says Rav Avi, starting is if you've already put down that cloth on you, he hasn't even touched your hair with the scissors, you've already started your haircut. And what is considered to be the beginning of a merchatz? You take off your yarmulke before you even take off the rest of your clothes. First thing you take off is your hat, and then you're already in the bath. And what's the beginning of a burski in the tannery? Well, the minhag was to take your sleeves. Now you don't want to get filthy in there. So you take your sleeves, you tie them together behind your back so your arms are not going to be covered with anything. That's already the beginning of the Bursky. And what's considered to be the beginning of eating? Says Rav, beginning of eating is when you wash to eat. That's already the beginning of the meal. Rav Chanina says, no, it's before that. I mean, you got to loosen your belt, right? I mean, where is all that food going to go into? Now, actually, lo plige, it depends. Halan, Rav Chanina is talking about us, of course, in terms of the Gemara, means Bavel, whereas Rav was talking about them, meaning the people in Eretz Yisroel. So the minhag in Bavel was that people would, though they were, they didn't want to look like Rav Papa, so they would put on very tight belts, you know, and then the, in order to eat, I mean, you got to loosen that belt a little bit. So they were very into a shapely look. Mashenkein in Eretz Yisroel, nobody tightened up a belt, and because of that, you didn't have to listen to loosen the belt. Omer Abaye, the halakha, therefore, is our chaverim who come from Bavel. If you hold tefillat arvit is a rishus, and it's not an absolute chiyuv to daven ma'ariv, which is a machlokas, and since, remember, ma'ariv is only there keneged the parts of the carbon that weren't brought during the day, so they're not absolutely, if I didn't do that, these the emurim that are burnt all day long are not going to be ma'akev the carbon, so then maybe the ma'ariv is also not ma'akev, and I don't have to daven it. And so even if it's, if you hold, therefore, according to the Mahdi Amar, who says it's not absolutely achiyev, so kiven deshara lehamnuye, once, according to them, since they have to loosen their belt, once they loosen their belt, we let him daven later, let him finish his meal. He already started. I mean, it's a killer, man. After you let that loose, that belt loose, to have to stop and to daven ma'ariv when you're already salivating. But according to the Mahdi Amar, who says that tefillas ma'ariv is chovah, we do bother him, even if he let his loose, his belt loose. What? This makes no sense at all. I understand. Tfilas mincha is definitely chovah. Nobody argues about that. According to Kule Alma, it's chovah. And the Mishnah said that if you started, ein mafzikim, and Rev Chanina said that people that live in Bavel, starting is defined by letting your belt loose. And how in the world do you not have to daven? You're telling me that it's a difference by Ma'ariv? And that Ma'ariv is going to be more chomer than the mincha? Why would that be? Yes, absolutely. Because if you're eating in the daytime, you do not generally in the middle of the day have a beer. Mashenkein over here, where you're talking about Ma'ariv, Ma'ariv already, you know, you take yourself a little wine, a little beer, and because of that, shchicha shichrus, and you may end up not davening at all. Inami, or you could say, mincha kiven dekvila zimna mirtat velo atila mifsha. Mincha is a very specific time that you have to daven. Ma'ariv, you can say any time, all night long. So you can keep delaying it. You know, by the time you realize it's already morning. So over there, if he's mirtat, that he's lo asila mifsha. Arvit, kiven dekula laila zman arvit, you have all night to daven. Lo mirtat, you're not going to be nervous. And because of that, you may end up being pesheya and not davening.